Good to see everyone here this morning as we worship the Lord together. Thankful for your presence. We know that school is out finally for a lot of, all students in this area and teachers, and look forward to a good summer. We'll have a meeting right after service this morning very quickly. Those who want to help us with Vacation Bible School, one-day Vacation Bible School, the Saturday right before our gospel meeting begins. I'm with Mike McPherson. My brother will be leading singing that week, and looking forward to those things. So be mindful of that immediately after our service this morning. Let's go to our Father in prayer before our lesson. We are thankful, Lord, that you have given us life, that you have given us this day, this first day of the week in which to worship. We sing these songs of praise to you, expressing the love we have for you, and as we sung just a moment ago, the love you have for us, that you bless us in this life when we don't deserve to be blessed. You give us things that we need, even though we could not make them on our own, but you graciously give us so much. We know that every good and perfect gift is from above. We are thankful this morning that there are those who are sick, they're doing better. Christine and Brother Lowell, we're thankful for your hand being upon them. We know some are grieving. We know some are going through various problems in relationships. And whatever the case may be, we pray that you give courage to those who are hurting. Bless those who are mourning. Bless us here at Pleasant View as we strive to do your will. We know that we fall short many times, and we pray that you forgive us. Bless our gospel meeting, our Vacation Bible School. Bless all the things that we do here as a congregation, that they may be uplifting to the church, that all things may shine a bright light for Christ. Continue to watch over us and forgive us. Give us grace and mercy. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. I want to ask not so much a question, but who is not a Christian? We live in a time where people think everyone is a Christian for one way or another, for one reason or another. Let us self-identify as a Christian. If they're given a list of options on a form they're filling out, there's a check this box, man, what category you're in. Someone will say, well, I'm not Jewish, and there's some heritage you have to have there, and I haven't been converted to religious Judaism, so that's not me. I'm definitely not Muslim. I haven't converted to Islam, so that's not me, and I'm not these other things, so I'm a Christian. We live in a time where people identify themselves as Christians for any number of reasons, and so that's what I want us to think about, explore this morning, is that subject or that question, because the main point is the Bible defines a Christian, not man. Someone can say they are a Christian all they want to. Someone can fill out that form and check that box. Somebody can tell their friends and family, say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Then the question then becomes, though, well, at what point were you lost, and then at what point did you become saved? How do you define yourself as a Christian? What standard are you living by? How have you answered that question? Is it a question that you can turn to Scripture and answer and say, here is what I did, here's what the Bible says, and that's how I responded to that? Or is the answer simply based on, again, just a modern, popular, common definition? We are people who strive to do Bible things in Bible ways. And what we do together in worship, what we do as a church, what we do as we're organized, what we do as individuals, we say we want to do Bible things in Bible ways. We don't want to take Bible things and then do them our own way. And say, well, I can take a Bible thing and do it as I want. If the Bible describes how something should be done, then we need to adhere to that. The Bible defines a Christian. The word itself, as you know, only appears three times in Scripture. Most of the time, a follower of Christ is simply called a disciple, another word that is used for that. But they started being called Christians. Some believe it was a derisive term. It was an insult in the beginning. That's why Peter said, don't be ashamed of that word Christian, being called a Christian, but glorify God in that name. Be proud of the fact that somebody called you a Christian. The church in Antioch was the first church. It says in Acts 11, they were called Christians instead of just disciples. They were given, being known all over as Christians. We know that Antioch church was such an important church in the book of Acts. Jerusalem church was the first church of importance, and in the middle of Acts, the church in Antioch was so important. They were the ones that sent Paul and Barnabas out on their mission works. And it was in that church that said, these are Christians. What made them Christians? What defined them that way? Did they say, you know what? We're going to define that our own way. We're going to say what that means. We're going to tell everybody. No, they went by what they were being taught by the apostles. Again, they didn't have this yet. All they had was what Jesus had taught the apostles. That's what they were relying on. That was where they were getting their definition of what that means. And when they were lost, in the point that they were saved. So to answer who is not a Christian, you have to first talk about who a Christian is. We have to look and say, okay, if the Bible defines a Christian, then let's open it up and see who a Christian is. And very broadly, we begin by saying, well, a Christian's one who obeys the gospel. And you've heard that phrase your whole life, obeying the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. And it's news that needs a response. When you get on the internet and you look at a website, a news website that has all the information, you may go on the Tennessean's website, you see all the articles there from that they have put out. You go to CNN, wherever you go to find news. Well, that's just news. That's information. That news does not have a bearing on your soul. That news is just what's going on in the world around you. Well, the news of Christ is Jesus came to this world to save sinners. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He so loved the world, he loved everybody, that he gave Jesus. And whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's news that requires a response. Every single person on this earth, every single person who has lived since then is required to make a response. And some say, I don't make a response to Christ. I don't believe that he was a person. Well, that's their answer. That's their response. The response is no. When they say that, they're saying no to the good news of Jesus. The news of Christ requires a response. You have heard it before about the gospel itself, the fundamental elements of the gospel, that there are facts to be believed. Jesus, Son of God, he came to die on the cross, take the punishment for you, so that his blood washes your sins away, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, ascended, that the message of the gospel went out, commands were given, so that you have facts to be believed. The second part, the commands that need to be obeyed. That there was a command that went out about believing, obeying the gospel, what they're supposed to do. And then finally, the third element of the gospel is that there are promises that will be fulfilled. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. So we have facts that have to be believed. We have commands that need to be obeyed. And then there's going to be promises the Lord will fulfill. Someone who is a Christian has obeyed those commands of the gospel. It's just not news that you read about in the Tennessean or somewhere else. It's news that requires a response. Christian is one who has obeyed the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 1:8 Paul's writing to the Thessalonians, he says, look, the Lord is going to come one day and deal out retribution to those who do not know God and those, he says, who do not obey the gospel. Those who do not obey the gospel clearly are not Christians, because the Lord will deal out retribution to them. They will be lost eternally. Christian is one who has obeyed the gospel. Christian is also one who has repented of his sins. This is a fundamental part of becoming a Christian. Someone who's identified the sins in their lives and saying, I'm going to turn away from those things. Somebody said once, you know, repentance is changing your mind and therefore changing your actions. Every act begins with a thought. And if you think some activity is not a sin, then you're going to do it. But once you think that something is a sin, then that's going to affect how you think about it. It's going to affect whether you do it or not. Repentance is fundamental to our salvation. Repentance is something a Christian needs to do. Will you continue to sin? Will there still be times in your life you will sin? Of course. Because you're a human being, and Satan is continuing to tempt you. Satan is continuing to try to pull you away from the Lord. But the blessing we have as Christians is that when we sin as a Christian, the Lord continues to forgive, continues to wipe our sins away, as 1 John 1 tells us. When we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive us. Great blessing of being a Christian. Jesus was referring to a tower that had collapsed and killed some people. In Luke 13, he says, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. He wasn't talking about a tower falling on people. He was saying, unless you change your lives and repent. And spiritually, that's a spiritual illustration of what's going to happen to you. A physical illustration, rather, of what's going to happen to you spiritually. That's going to look like your soul is going to be destroyed if you don't repent. And of course, that was the first word out of Peter's mouth in Acts 2:38. When the people asked, how do we change our condition? How can we be saved? The first word he said was repent. You have to change. Jesus said, unless you are converted, become like little children, not into the kingdom of heaven. Christian is also one who confesses Christ as Lord. We see that from the eunuch, Acts chapter 8. When he said he believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and Peter and Philip said, well, then you can be baptized. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he referred to Timothy's confession that he made in front of many witnesses. If you stand up in this building today and say, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, there's not going to be any harm done to you. Matter of fact, if you were to walk out on Highway 49 and say the same thing, there's not going to be any harm done to you. But 2,000 years ago, if you were to say Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're going to get persecution from Jew and Roman authorities. That statement cost people their lives, because the Roman emperors thought themselves to be gods, and that was rebellion against the crown, and it was blasphemous to a Jewish person who had not been converted. It is fundamental to a Christian to say, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's not something they say once, not something they just say when they're baptized. It's something they need to keep saying. Still confess. Make that statement known the rest of their lives, that that is their belief. A Christian is also someone who's been baptized into Christ. Galatians chapter 3, we know that Paul was discussing the old law at the beginning of that chapter, and he called the law a tutor to lead you to Christ. And really, in the my understanding in the Greek there with the word tutor in Galatians chapter 3 is is like a school teacher. I mean, of course, that's a teacher. And I heard a man talk about that passage once, and he made a great illustration of it. He said it's like a school bus. He said, picture all the Israelites in a school bus. And on the outside of the bus, it says the law. And as you read the Old Testament, you're reading the windy path that school bus is taking. And all the things that God's people did all throughout the Old Testament. And he said eventually the law, the thing they were living in, that teacher, the school bus, stopped at the cross. And then the question was, are you going to get out and believe that this is the Messiah? We've been training you, we've been leading you to this point, or are you going to reject Christ and stay in this bus? Stay under the law. We know many got out and believed in Christ. And then he went on to say, right after that, he said, all of us who have been baptized into Christ have clothed ourselves with Christ. And because of that, because of our baptism, we now have spiritual equality. For there may be inequality in the world, there's equality among slave and free, male and female, Jew and Greek. And he says, not only that, connecting again back to the old law, he says, you've been baptized into Christ. You are part of that promise God made to Abraham. You're part of that inheritance. When he told Abraham, your descendants are going to be like the sand on the sea and the stars in the sky. You're the result. It got us, that promise got us to hear to the Savior of the world. But we also need to remember that we need to live faithfully as Christians. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, for without faith it is impossible to please God. So you can do all of these other things and not have faith. You're not going to please God. You have that unwavering commitment and trust that God is going to do all the things He said He was going to do. You have an unwavering commitment and trust that your sins are washed away because He said so. You have that unwavering commitment and trust that there's going to be a place prepared for you in heaven. Do you have faith? Sometimes people's faith is very weak. The apostles said that at times. Give us more faith. Increase our faith. We're not where we need to be in our faith because what you've just said has challenged us, has caused us to have some doubts and some questions. We're a little bit nervous. I think all of us, probably every day, could say the same. Need more faith. Lord, increase my faith. The last day of your life needs to be the most faithful day of your life. As we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior every day. But then then we have our question that we started with. And that's what a Christian is. A true, dedicated follower of Christ who believe the facts of the gospel, obey the commands of the gospel, trust in the promises of the gospel. Well, who is not a Christian? Well, you're not a Christian just because you're an American. Christian is a person, it's not a nation. Some people get very confused when they read the Bible and they talk about the nation of Israel. They read the Old Testament and the nation of Israel. And Israel is God's people. And so when you keep reading nation, we start thinking about America because this is the nation we live in. And God did this to this nation. When Israel rebelled, then they were punished. The nation was punished. And so many people start mixing those things together and think, well, let me start by believing that this is a Christian nation, therefore this is God's favorite nation. This is where all the good people live. This is like a sort of a church, is the United States. And so when we read about nation in the Old Testament, we got to think about the nation of America. And we need to do this thing so God will not do to us what he did to the nation of Israel. Well, those are, of course, two entirely different things, because it draws into the question, well, then who did God love before there was the United States? It's kind of the fundamental problem of that type of thinking. And then you have to ask, well, what makes a nation Christian? How in the world can a country be Christian based on what we just read and defined as a Christian? You want to look around every single day and say, do we live in a Christian nation? Now, we know this nation was established to have freedom of religion. We know that people who established this nation came from a place where they could not practice their religion freely. Among a lot of other reasons, they came here to establish a free nation where the citizens were guaranteed to be able to have freedom to do many things, among which was worship as they pleased to whoever they wanted to worship. We know that. We don't have that freedom. But we know this country is filled with many, many people who are not Christians, who do not worship God in any way, are not by any means defined as Christians the way the Bible is. So a Christian is not just somebody who lives in America. Because we know a lot of people in this country who are not Christians, and a Christian's a person. That's why we always have trouble when we start putting the title Christian on a thing. What makes a business a Christian business? What makes a school a Christian school? Getting a lot of murky water there when you start making Christian an adjective instead of a person. The Bible's a person. Christian is not someone who's just a moralist. People were good, people were moral before Jesus came to this world. You know people in your life who don't believe in God, who don't believe in Jesus as the Savior, who are good people. They're honest, they're good neighbors, they're helpful, they're generous. They give their money to charities and do things for others. And somebody come along and say, because I behave a certain way, that makes me a Christian. Because I live in a lot of ways that mimic the life of Christ. They see Christianity simply as behavior. Being a good person. And again, that's a problem when you start saying, well, but this person over here thinks Muhammad is the prophet of God. So this person over here doesn't believe in anything, and they seem to be a whole lot more moral than this guy over here who says he's a Christian. How moral do you need to be? What if that unbeliever is the most moral person you know? Does that automatically make him a Christian if everyone else is a Christian? Christianity is not just defined by doing enough good things. And so you just are a Christian by default. There were a lot of good people in this world. You think about Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, a Gentile, Roman. He wasn't a Christian, but he's a really good guy. He gave his money away. The Bible describes him as a really, really good guy. Probably very uncommon among Roman centurions, among that world. He wasn't a Christian. By the end of the chapter, he was a Christian. But the Bible doesn't say he was a really good guy, and therefore just automatically, boom, he's a Christian. A Christian is not just somebody who's a moralist. A Christian is not just one who's a theist. You know, theocracy is a government that's run by a religion, theo. Anytime you see theist, theo, that kind of word, theology is the study of God. A theist is somebody who believes in God. Somebody says, "Do you believe in God?" He says, "Yes." And that's why I'm a Christian. I believe in God. You believe in Jesus? Do you have any sort of faith? No. Oh, I believe there's a God. You'll see so many people say that. Don't really believe in Christ. Don't really, haven't done anything to obey the commands of the gospel. I believe in some of the facts of the gospel, that there is a God, but that's as far as it goes. But Jesus himself said in Luke 10:16, "He who rejects me rejects the one who sent me." You can't have one without the other. You can't say, "Yes, I believe in God, but no, I don't believe in his son." Somebody says, "You know, I believe in Jesus," because it can go the other way too. "Yes, I believe in Jesus. Yes, I want to be like him. But the other thing, the Holy Spirit and God the Father, some of this, I'm not really, but I like to follow the teachings of Christ." Well, that doesn't make sense because of what Jesus said about his Father. You say, "I believe in Jesus, but I reject the Father," then you reject Jesus, because he said his Father was God. Being a Christian is not just because you live in this country. It's not because you're a good person, a moralist, and just to say, "Well, I believe in God," that doesn't make one a Christian either. A Christian's not someone who just has, we would say, faith only. And say, I'm a believer, I have faith, but I haven't still followed the commands of Scripture, which should go hand in hand. Somebody says they have faith. Well, faith has to be demonstrated. That's what James said. Faith without works is dead. Faith without demonstration. You say, "I believe in my doctor. I have faith in my doctor," and he writes a prescription. Then you say, you rip it up and say, "Well, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm not going to fill it. I'm too scared that what if I take that medicine, it might do me more harm than it does good." Well, then don't say you have faith in your doctor. You say you have faith in your doctor, then when he writes a prescription, you take it. You trust that what he's saying is true. There's so many people that say they believe, but then when it comes to the commands of the gospel, they say, "Well, no, I'm not going to do those things." "Oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Yes, I have faith." Well, do you? Do you really have faith? Don't believe you have as much faith as you think. And we see the commands of Scripture that would not be there had faith been all that someone needed in order to be a Christian. In Luke chapter 12, interesting passage. And talking about and discussing some of the things that the Pharisees and others were dealing with in their readiness, and talking about their believing in some aspects of Christ, but not in the full aspects of Christ. Which brings us to the last thing that's not a Christian, and that is someone who's just simply a worshiper. You remember Lydia in the book of Acts, who came along and said, when Paul was going to Philippi, they found her down by the river. It says she was a worshiper. She would assemble with the Jews, a worshiper of God. Did that make her a Christian? No, it did not make her a Christian. She was a Christian later when she was baptized into Christ. At the time, she was just simply, as others did. There were pagans and other non-believers in the world who respected the Jewish religion. They really felt there was a lot of credibility in what the Jews believed, so they would worship them because they worshiped one God and not all the gods. Lydia very much could have been like that. But Paul told her that she was converted. There's so many today that think, well, if I'm in a certain place at a certain time, then that makes me a Christian. If I go to a worship service occasionally, if I go to a Bible study, that's what makes me a Christian. I can kind of leave the others out. Christian's not just someone who's an American or a moralist or a theist. Somebody says, yeah, I have faith, but that's the extent of it. Or somebody who simply comes into a building a certain time in a week and meets with Christians. And somehow their Christianity, so to speak, rubs off on them. The fact of the matter is there's one gospel and one response to that gospel. There are not many gospels with many different responses. So many people take the gospel and say, I'm going to respond to the gospel my way. Well, if that's true, then the next guy can do the same thing. The next woman can do the same thing. Then they can respond to it their way. And this person responds to it their way. And eventually say, well, how can that all be true? How can every response be biblical? There's only one gospel. One response to the gospel that the Bible defines, we need to adhere to if we're going to do Bible things in Bible ways. If you are outside of Christ, if you are not a Christian in the way the Bible defines a Christian, if you have not repented of your sins, confessed Christ, if you have not been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, I encourage you to do that today. You may come here outside of Christ. You can leave in Christ. We encourage you to do that. If you need prayers this morning, because your faith is weak, we discussed earlier, we can strengthen your faith, encourage you in some way. We'd love to do that. Whatever it is, please come while we stand and sing.